Tim Jackson, Professor at the Centre for Environmental Strategy at the University of Surrey and Economics Commissioner at the UK Sustainable Development Commission, where he completed the 2009 report Prosperity Without Growth? That report has recently been revised and published as a book by EarthScan under the title Prosperity Without Growth: Economics for a Finite Planet. You'll find more details on the National Interest website at abc.net.au/rn/national interest, where you'll also find links to Tim Jackson's recent Deakin Lecture in Melbourne and to the edited broadcast of that lecture on big ideas on ABC Radio National. And of course, we'd welcome your thoughts. Click the Add Your Comment tag on the website or leave a message on the feedback line by calling 1300 936 222. Last week in the National Interest, we spoke with WA Premier Colin Barnett about the proposed new mineral resources rent tax, which had just been hammered home by newly minted PM Julia Gillard. Premier Barnett described the tax as messy and raised the prospect of a constitutional challenge based on the premise that mineral resources are not owned by the people of Australia, but by the states. Joyce from Western Australia had this to say in response.
Resources require expertise, and expertise requires resources. With a mineral resources rent tax now in place, West Australians could look forward to improved healthcare, for instance. There's an 18-month waiting list in WA for those begging for a hip replacement. When a lower company tax is introduced, small business will flourish and be able to employ more people. Infrastructure such as more trains, bridges and houses, rather than feeding petrol-hungry aeroplanes ferrying our miners to and fro, will halt global warming. With thousands of homeless people in WA, affordable home prices and a government's commitment to provide for the homeless with a bowl of soup, a bed and two blankets is called for. And introducing affordable superannuation payments will assist us all. For a state government to mount a constitutional challenge to a mining resources rent tax is avoiding the sharing of our commonwealth.
Another listener, Jacko, saw the picture very differently.
As an eastern stater, it is refreshing to hear a political leader as lucid, factual and measured as WA Premier Colin Barnett. If we had leaders like Barnett running New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, who was prepared to stand up to the Commonwealth for the interests of the people as state citizens, we would be able to place renewed confidence in this tier of government. Barnett sounds good too, compared with Rudd and Gillard.
However, Wattlesong from WA was not impressed by Colin Barnett's independent streak.
It is an embarrassment to have been born and live in WA. We are Australia's cashed-up bogans, empty vessels and pots who live in glass houses armed with slingshots. How can the wealthiest state have the worst outcomes for health, education and aged care? And our cultural centres such as they are closed during the week.
Irene from Hobart thinks we should take a leaf out of Alaska's book when considering a tax on resources.
I have friends who just got back from Alaska, and apparently in Alaska, the mineral companies pay every Alaskan person $1,700 a year, royalty, for the privilege of taking minerals out of Alaskan soil. You have to live in Alaska for 2 years before that rebate will apply to you. But I find that very interesting in a capitalist country like the United States, that in Alaska, this is the case. So it is ridiculous if Australians don't also expect royalties in some form or another from our mineral companies. Thank you.
Last week in the National Interest, we also looked at the situation under the law for older people on the receiving end of abuse, particularly financial abuse. Our guests suggested that more awareness of this growing phenomena might be part of the answer to the problem, as well as ensuring that nationally consistent statutes are put in place. However, Helen suggests that those in law enforcement are not always as helpful as we might hope when it comes to seeking redress for abuses against the elderly, however big or small the amount.
I have recent experience of financial abuse of a dying person and found recourse to the law did not work. The sum of money, which seemed substantial to me, was not enough for the police to consider worth prosecuting. Then solicitors advised that the costs of mounting a civil case were prohibitive. In this case, it looks as though a standover merchant is going to get away with it. the executors of the deceased person's will really wanted to stand up for justice, but the system has worked against them at every step.
To give us your thoughts, go to the website abc.net.au/rn/national interest and use the Add Your Comment tag on the relevant story. Or call the feedback line 1300 936 222. The National Interest is produced by Erica Voles. Technical production on this program by Angie Grant. I'm Peter Mayers, and on ABC Radio National, it's coming up to the news.